Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is June the 10th, and we are in Treyasar, we're in Zechariah, and we are in Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. As we mentioned the last time, we are actually in the middle of one of the Haftorahs. This is the Haftorah both for Shabbos Chanukah and also for Shabbos Parshas Bahalosha, which is this week's Haftorah. So the first six psukim that we're going to do tonight are going to complete the Haftorah for this week's Haftorah for Parshas Bahalosha and also for Shabbos Chanukah. Now here we will see why this is read on Shabbos Chanukah, because Zechariah is about to have a nevuah, he's about to have a prophecy that is about a menorah. And this Haftorah, or this section, is referred to in Chazal as Neros de Zechariah, the lights of Zechariah, because he's going to see a vision of a menorah. So the pasuk says, Aleph, Vayashav Hamalach HaDover Bi, the angel who was speaking to me returned, Vayyireini, and he woke me up. He got me awake, Ki'ish Asher Ye'or Mishanaso, like a man who will wake up from his sleep. Now, Zechariah was seeing a nevuah before this point, and now he continues seeing a nevuah. He didn't actually wake up, meaning if he was sleeping, if this was a dream, then that state continued. If it wasn't a dream, if it was just a vision that he saw, then he's still in the same state he was. He didn't actually go from being asleep to being awake. In his vision, he sees himself being woken up, like as if he were a man waking up from his sleep. So we're going to have to understand, why is it that this particular nevuah is predicated on Zechariah, so to speak, waking up? Vayomer Elai, Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Elai, he said to me, Mo'ata ro'eh, what do you see? So the Malach said to Zechariah, what do you see? Va'omar, and I said, Ra'isi, I saw. V'hine minoras zahav kula, I saw a menorah that was completely gold. V'gula al rosha, and there was and its large bowl was above it. There was a large bowl above the menorah. No mention is made for how this large bowl stayed up in the air. That's not being discussed, but there was this large bowl above the menorah. Vishiva Neroseha Aleha, and the menorah had seven lights, seven candles, meaning that in this context, the word ner means the holder of the oil. When you have a seven-branch menorah, as this is, so you have the branches of the menorah, the top of the branch of each of the branches, you have to have a small cup that will hold the oil and the wick. That's what the word ner means over here. We tend to translate ner as candle, and a lot of people just think of a wick, of a wax candle. That's not what the word ner means in this context. It means the cup holder, the cup that holds the oil and the wick. So there was, on this menorah, there were seven neros, seven cups, shiva vishiva mutzakos, laneros ashal rosha, and there were seven mutzakos, which means that there were seven, Rashi uses the word tsinor, which means a pipe, but don't picture a large pipe like in the plumbing of a home, but picture like a straw. In other words, there was some sort of a of a pipe that went from the large bowl over the menorah. There were seven small pipes that went from that large bowl down into each of these cups. So the oil would go from the large bowl down through these seven pipes into each of the seven cups of the menorah. That's what the oil would get in there. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Ushnaim zeisim aleha, and there were two olive trees. It literally means on it, but it doesn't mean on it. It means next to it. There were these two olive trees. Echad mimin agula, one was to the right of the bowl. Ve'echad al smola, and one was to the left of the bowl. Now later on in this chapter, we will see how the olives, how they ended up as oil in the bowl. But those olive trees provided the olives that provided the oil for the bowl, which then went through the pipes into the menorah. So that's what Zechariah sees. And he tells the Malach, this is what I see. Va'an va'omar el ha-malach ha-dover bi. So I called out and I said to the angel who was speaking to me, Lamar, saying, Ma'ele Adoni, what are these, my master? So the Malach asked Zechariah, what do you see? Zechariah responded, that seems to have been the end of the conversation as far as the Malach is concerned. But Zechariah then continues the conversation and he says, what is this, my master? I don't understand what I'm seeing. Now, he understands, he sees a menorah. He describes it, so he knows it's a menorah. What he means is, I don't know what it symbolizes. What is this all about? Vayan hamalach hadover bi. So the angel was speaking to me, answered, Vayomer elai, and he said to me, Halo yadata mahema ela? Don't you know what they are? Va'omar, and I said, Lo adoni, no, my master. So Zechariah asks the angel, what is this? The angel says, don't you know? And he says, no. So what was the angel thinking? Was the angel thinking that Zechariah wasn't being truthful? Was this a rhetorical question? What's the conversation over here? Vayan vayomer elai lemar. He responded and he said to me, saying, Zed dvar Hashem el Zerubbabel lemar. This is the word of Hashem to Zerubbabel. Remember Zerubbabel is the incoming king, if there would be a king, saying, Lo v'chayo v'lo v'choach, not with an army and not with strength, meaning the second Beis HaMikdash will not be built with an army or with strength of man, ki'im biruchi, but rather with my spirit, Amar Hashem Tzvakos, says Hashem Tzvakos. I made a mistake before. There's really seven psukim from the Haftorah. There's one more pasuk from the Haftorah. So what the Malach is telling Zechariah in the name of Hashem is that this menorah symbolizes that the second Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, not through the efforts of man, through the strength of man, but rather through the spirit of Hashem. Mi ata har hagadol lifnei Zerubbabel lemishor. Who are you, the big mountain that is in front of Zerubbabel lemishor? You will be made into a flat plane. You will be flattened out. Flatten the curve. This mountain are those who were trying to stop the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi now says, in a rhetorical way, who are you? In other words, who do you think you are? The mountain that is standing before Zerubbabel. You are now going to be Limishor. You're now going to be this large mountain. You will now be flattened out, be squashed down, so that Zerubbabel can get by and build the second Beis HaMikdash. V'hotzi es ha'evan harosha, and he will take out the stone, the cornerstone, as Evan Arosha, the main stone, Tishuos Chein Chein La. The word Tishuos means, it means calling out, making noise. Teshuos, chein, chein, la. Chein means favor. Favor, favor for it. Which means the Beis HaMikdash will be built, it will be favorable, it will be something beautiful. Now, the Malach, again, let's go through the conversation. The Malach says to Zechariah, what do you see? So Zechariah says, after Zechariah says, the Malach woke me up. He says, what do you see? So he describes this whole menorah with the olive trees and the bowl and seven pipes and seven lights. So then he says, then Zechariah says to the Malach, what is this? What does it mean? So the Malach says, don't you know? He says, no, I don't. So he says, well, this is from Hashem, this is to say that the second Beis HaMikdash will be built not through strength of man, but rather through my spirit. And how will that manifest itself? It will manifest itself by this large mountain that is standing before Zerubbabel will be flattened, and then the cornerstone can be set up and the new Beis HaMikdash will be built. So let's just deal with historically what is happening here. We've talked about this a little bit already in Zechariah, but we know that the foundation of the second Beis HaMikdash had already been laid 18 years earlier. And then it was stopped. And it was stopped by those non-Jews who were living in Israel who did not want to see a second Beis HaMikdash, and they told the king, they told Koresh that the Jews were actually rebelling against them, and he stopped the building. Now, it's 18 years later, and they want to build the second Beis HaMikdash. They want to complete the building of it, building upon this foundation. The problem is that there are still the same scoundrels living in Israel who are trying to stop them. And Hashem says to Zechariah that they're not going to be able to stop them. And in fact, it's not going to be human strength that's going to get rid of that large mountain, that seemingly impossible obstacle that looks like you can't get past it. It's not going to be the strength of man that's going to get rid of that obstacle, but I'm going to do it. It's going to be through my spirit. And the second Beis HaMikdash will be built. So this is what the menorah represents. The question is, how does the menorah represent that? I understand that there is a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, but there are other things in the Beis HaMikdash as well. And more than that, where do you see anything here about a large mountain being removed, an obstacle being removed, and it's through the spirit of Hashem rather than through the strength of man? Where is that shown in this vision that he sees of the menorah? So we are going to see later on this evening, in this parak, we're going to see that there is a process here for those olives to get from the trees to become oil and into the menorah. And the process is going to happen by itself. Where normally olives have to be picked, then they have to be placed in a container and in an environment where the olives will ferment a little bit and get, for lack of a better word, mushy, that then you can press them and the oil comes out, and then you have to take that oil and process the oil. So what is going to happen here is it's all going to happen by itself. That the olives will end up as oil in the menorah. And Hashem is telling Zechariah, just as you see that this menorah will be fueled with oil and kindled everything by itself, as if it's all without any human work, that's the way the second Beis HaMikdash is going to get built. Now, it doesn't mean that it won't get built by him, man. People do build it. It's not that it comes down from Shamayim like the third Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be, but rather they actually build it. But the process of getting rid of the obstacle of those who were living in Israel who were trying to stop the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and they were formidable, they were powerful, and they had a lot of clout, So Hashem says, the process of getting rid of them, it's not going to be diplomatic, and it's not going to be with an army, and it's not going to be with threatening. It's going to be through me. I'm just going to sweep them away. I'm going to flatten them, and then it'll be, the road will be paved for Zerubbabel to come and build the second base Hamikdash. And that is the symbolism of this menorah. Now, we still have things to explain. We haven't explained why a menorah. Why couldn't there be other symbolisms, number one? Number two, we have not explained the conversation, where first of all, he has to wake up. Second of all, the angel says, what do you see? Then Zechariah has to ask, what does it mean? And the angel then says, don't you know? And Zechariah says, no, I don't. And then finally, the angel answers him. So we have to discuss that as well. But we're going to move on first before we get back to those loose ends. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Vayhi divar Hashem Eli Lamor, and the word of Hashem came to me saying, Yedei Zerubbabel yistu habayis hazeh v'yadav tivatzana. The hands of Zerubbabel laid the foundation of this bayis, of this second base Hamikdash. Zerubbabel was involved. He was at the forefront of the building of the foundation of the second base Hamikdash 18 years ago. And now his hands will complete the building. He started it. He's going to finish it. V'yadat, and you will know, ki Hashem Tzfakos shlachani aleichem, that Hashem Tzfakos sent me to you. That Hashem Tzfakos sent me to you. That this is really, I believe this is Zechariah talking. That I'm just looking now. The Ibn Ezra says that that Zerubbabel is being sent by Hashem. That's what it means over here. V'yadata, you will know, ki Hashem Tzfakos shlachani aleichem, that Hashem Tzfakos sent me to you, meaning, even though it's said in the first person, but it is, it sounds like it is Zerubbabel. Let me just take a look at this. When I prepared this, I did not notice this point. That it's in the first person, Hashem sent me. That sounds like it's from Zechariah speaking. No, I misread Ibn Ezra. So it is, Zechariah is saying to Zerubbabel, now Zerubbabel is not in this, he's not in the Nevuah, so later on Zechariah will say this to Zerubbabel, then you will know that Hashem Tzfakos sent me to you, sent me, Zechariah, to you, Zerubbabel, to tell you this Nevuah, that you're going to complete the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ki mi vaz liyom kitanos, because who denigrates this small days? V'samchu v'ro'u es ha'evena b'dil b'yad Zerubbabel shiva'ila. And they will be happy, and they will see the Evan HaBedil. The Evan HaBedil is this stone. It's the it's what we would call today, they use today, a level. When they want to make sure that a building is done properly, that it's built straight and level, so they use, in their day, what they used was, they had a heavy stone attached to a string, and you let the stone drop, and the stone is hanging from the string, and after it stops moving around, you can tell exactly what is up and down and what is perpendicular to that, and you can build straight. So that's the Evan HaBedil. So they will see the Evan HaBedil in the hands of Zerubbabel, which is a symbol for building. Shiva Eile, these seven. What seven? Who said anything about seven? The last seven we had were the seven branches of the menorah. So what seven are we talking about here? Einei Hashem, Hema Meshotetim B'chol Haaretz. The eyes of Hashem, so to speak, they are Meshotetim, they are looking throughout the whole world. That they are checking out the whole world, and they have chosen, Hashem has chosen Zerubbabel to be the one to build the second base, Hamikdash. Now, what does this mean? Ki mi vaz liyom ketanos? Because who denigrates this short days, the small days? So the small days. So the when they laid the foundation of the second Beis HaMikdash back 18 years ago, we learned in Sefer Ezra that there were those who were still alive who had seen the first Beis HaMikdash. There were those at that time who had been alive 52 years earlier prior to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, And now they saw the foundation of the second Beis HaMikdash, and it looked very small to them. It looked tiny to them. And there was great rejoicing amongst those who had not seen the first Beis HaMikdash. They were rejoicing because now there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. They had never seen a Beis HaMikdash before. And those who had seen the first Beis HaMikdash were crying because they were saying, this is not a Beis HaMikdash. This is nothing compared to what we had before. So here the pasuk says, "Ki mi vaz liyom kitanos," who denigrates the small days, those days 18 years ago when the foundation looked small to you, and there were those who were upset and cried. And the pasuk over there says the sounds of the wailing of those who cried was louder than the sounds of the rejoicing of those who were happy to see a new Beis HaMikdash. So now Zechariah says, "Who denigrates the days of small?" Now those people who before were sad and crying, now they will be happy as they will see the stone in the hands of Zerubbabel. Shiva Eile, these seven. The second Beis HaMikdash will now miraculously expand and be seven times larger than the foundation that had been laid 18 years ago. When you saw that foundation, you were upset because it looked so small. And now, miraculously, it's going to expand seven times. It'll be seven times larger. And then everybody will be happy because then it will actually rival the first Beis HaMikdash in its grandeur, in its size, in its scope. And now we begin to have an insight into why the menorah was the symbolism for the building of the second Beis HaMikdash with its seven branches. Because the second Beis HaMikdash now is going to be seven times larger than the foundation. Va'an va'omar, and I, Elav, and I responded and I said to him, Mashnei hazesim ha'ele, what are these two olive trees, al yamina menorah v'al smola, on the right of the menorah and on its left? What do they symbolize? Okay, you've explained the menorah to me. What do the olive trees symbolize? Silence. There's no answer. Va'an shenis va'omar love. So I called that a second time and I said to him, Mashtei shibalei hazesim asher biyad shnei tzantaros hazahav hamirikim me'alehem azav. What is these two bunches of olives, these two bundles of olives that are in the hands of the two tzantaros, the gold tzantaros? I'll explain that in a minute. That pour the oil on their own. That they pour the oil on their own of gold. What is this? Here it means, the second word of gold here means pure oil that shines like gold. So what is this? These two bundles of olives that are next to the two tzantaros. What are the tzantaros? The golden tzantaros. The tzantaros are the receptacles that the olives are put in so that they can ferment and get soft so that they can then be pressed. And then oil will be put into the gula, into that large bowl, which will then flow through the seven pipes into the seven cups of the menorah. So this is the rest of the story that we didn't see before. And so he asked, what are the two olive trees? There was no answer. Then he asked in a more detailed fashion, what are the two bundles of olives? Because what he's seeing is that the olive trees are harvested on their own. All of a sudden, you have olives that are no longer attached to the tree, that are in bundles. Those olives then end up in these tzantaros, into these receptacles that are the correct type of receptacle and in the correct environment to create a little bit of a fermentation and for the olives to get moist and to get soft. And then he sees them being pressed on their own, so that they flow into the golden, they flow into the menorah. So what is this that I'm seeing? Now the angel answers him. He didn't answer him before, but now he does. Vayomer Eli Lamor, he said to me, saying, Halo yadata ma'ele? Don't you know what they are? Sound familiar? Same again. Don't you know what they are? Vomar lo adoni. I said, no, I don't know, my master. So again, why is he saying to him, don't you know? He already said, what are these? He obviously doesn't know. Vayomer, and he said, Eile shnei v'nei ha-yitzhar. These are the two sons of Yitzhar. Now, Yitzhar literally means oil, as in olive oil. That's literally what it means, or it means to shine. But it refers to olive, it refers to the to oil. As we say in Kriya Shema, Ve'asafta digonecha, you will gather your grain, Ve'siroshcha, and your oil, and your wine, Ve'yitzharecha, and that's your oil. So these are the two sons of oil, meaning the two people that are represented by oil, Ha'omdin al-Adon kol ha'aretz, that stand to serve the master of the entire world. Who are the two people that are symbolized by oil? Those are the two people that have oil poured on them. Who are the two people who have oil poured on them? The Melech, the king, and the Kohen Gadol. These two olive trees that are then olive bundles that then become oil that then end up fueling the menorah, that is the king, the Melech, and the Kohen Gadol. That's who they are. Now, the second Beis HaMikdash did not have a Melech. We didn't have a king because we were under the control of the Persians. But we did have a Kohen Gadol, and we also had someone who was the Malchus Begalusa, was the king in exile, and that is Zerubbabel. As we keep mentioning before in Zechariah, Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, those two were, they symbolize the Malchus and the Kohuna Gedola, and they and those who follow them are the fuel for this menorah. So let's understand this a little bit more deeply, understand what is going on over here with some of these descriptions, especially what is the conversation between Zechariah and the Malach, this constant, don't you understand? No. And exactly what's happening in this back and forth. Now, there is when it comes to the number seven, so we know, of course, seven is, of course, the days of the week. We know that. And we know that seven is a significant number. But back in Pasuk Beis, in verse 2 of Perek Daled, so the end of the pasuk says, there was Shiva Neroseha Aleha, there were seven lights on it, Shiva Vishiva Mutzakos, seven and seven pourings. So as I told you, that was referring to the seven pipes that pour the oil down into the menorah. But the word seven is used many times over here. So Rashi tells us this alludes to the future and the great light that will be in the future. We know that in the future, the world will be, the Olam Haba will be lit up seven times the brightness of the Or Haganus, seven times the brightness of the light of the days of creation, the original light. The light of the future will be seven times that light. And that original light is in turn seven times the light that we have today. The regular light we have today is multiplied by seven to get to what it was during Bereishis, and then seven times that for the future. 343 times the light of today. Seven cubed. So That's why the word seven is used here so many times. It's a reference to the light of the future of Olam Haba. So even though we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, still there is a reference here to that light of the future. I'm going to pause here. Mrs. Deitch has a question.
Thank you. So I just was wondering, when they say that it's going to, that it's seven times in width of it, does that correspond to the, then we read last week where it says, you know, seven, one stone, seven times. Is that what it's talking about?
Yeah, that's,
you know, cause that was,
that's the same reference.
So that's what that was referring to, and this is just the explanation of what that means.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that the foundation will be seven times the Beis HaMikdash, okay. The second Beis HaMikdash will be seven times its foundation.
And but, so that you'll put, it says, when and you'll put the Evan for Yeshua, and one Evan will be, look like seven, Shevainayim, Shevainayim.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's what it means. It'll be so seven times larger than what it appears. It looks like so small, but it's actually going to be seven times larger.
So again, that's a seven again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number, okay, thank you.
Right. The number seven over here in expanding the foundation to the larger size of the second Beis HaMikdash is obviously related to the expansion of the light that we're going to have in the future. Those things are related. And that's another reason why it is a menorah, specifically, that is used as the symbol. Aside from the fact that menorah has seven branches, so you have the number seven, but the expansion of the Beis HaMikdash itself is tied into the light. The light of the menorah. That's what it's tied into together. Mrs. Lewis is asking, does seven by seven have anything to do with Omer or Shemitah? So yes, you're correct. It has everything to do with Omer and Shemitah. And the symbolism of seven is clearly going to be tied into that as well. So we're going to focus here on the menorah and the light itself. And then we'll see if Omer and Shemitah will tie in. It will definitely tie in. The question is whether we'll actually tie it in tonight in this class. Now, the conversation that goes on between Zechariah and the Malach is intriguing. I know I already went through it a couple of times. I'm just going to repeat it now. Let's go through it carefully, one by one, step by step. So first of all, he's woken up. He wasn't really sleeping, but it's as if he woke up. Number one. Number two, the Malach says to him, "What do you see?" So Zechariah tells him what he sees. The Malach doesn't say anything more. Zechariah says to the Malach, "What does this all mean?" The Malach says, "Don't you know?" Zechariah says, "No, my master, I don't." So the Malach explains. Then the Hashem speaks to, or the Malach speaks to, the word of Hashem comes to Zechariah, and then Zechariah asks the Malach, "What's with this other part of the vision? You explained one part of the vision, but what about the other part of the vision about the trees, the olive trees?" And the Malach doesn't answer. So then Zechariah asks in a more detailed way, "What about the bundles of olives that turn into oil, etc.?" And then the Malach says to him, "Don't you know?" And Zechariah says, "No, I don't, my master." So then the Malach explains it to him. It's a very funny conversation. So what is happening over here? So if we're going to understand that everything here is symbolic, all nevuah is symbolic of something. So what is symbolic in the way it's given over? You see, nevuah can be just given over straight. It can be in a vision. It can be in a conversation or a combination of all of the above. So this nevuah is given over in a conversation, but also in a story, where Zechariah is a player in the story. He's woken up. and he's asked to see if what to say what he sees. So clearly, what does being woken up mean? What does it mean when a person is woken up? A person is sleeping, and then they're woken up. So that means they go from a level of not being so conscious to being on a higher level of consciousness, or a level of awareness. When one is sleeping, their awareness is dulled. When they're awake, they are aware. They're focused. So Zechariah says, this next part of the Nevuah I'm telling you about, which is about the menorah, for this, I was woken up as like a man waking up from sleep. Meaning, I was seeing Nevuah until now. There was Nevuah before this point. But now, this Nevuah is more focused. I'm more aware of what's happening. There's a heightened level of awareness in this Nevuah. Now, Zechariah is not Moshe Rabbeinu. So we're not talking about the Nevuah reaching the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but clearly he is saying this Nevuah that I'm about to tell you about is on a higher level than the Nevuah that I was talking about until now. Now it's with a greater level of awareness. And the Malach amplifies this point by saying to Zechariah, what do you see? Tell me what you see. So why does Zechariah have to tell the Malach what he sees? Why can't Zechariah just tell us what he sees? So clearly the Malach is instructing Zechariah, I want you to notice the details. You were given an extra level of awareness over here. The extra level of awareness is to pick out all the details. Don't miss anything. What do you see? And Zechariah describes in detail the menorah and the bowl on top of the menorah, and the pipes going from the bowl to the menorah of the seven branches. And he says he sees the two olive trees. So he describes a lot of detail. He didn't describe all the detail. He left out some parts. He didn't mention the tzantaros hazahav, the gold receptacles. He didn't mention the bundles of olives. So he does what the Malach told him to do. He describes it, but he does not describe every detail. He describes a lot of the detail. So then but that's the end of it. There's no more conversation. The Malach doesn't continue. So then Zechariah says, what does it mean? The Malach says, don't you know? Now, why would the Malach say, don't you know? If Zechariah is saying, what does it mean? He obviously doesn't know. So, if someone tells you they don't know something, and then you respond, don't you know? So, that is another way of saying to a person that you should know, or you could figure it out. So, Zechariah says, what is this, my master? And the Malach says, don't you know? And he says, no, I don't, my master. So the Malach proceeds to explain it to him. And he explains how this vision represents that the second Beis HaMikdash will be greater seven times than its foundation. And the impediments are going to be removed by Hashem, not by human strength. And Hashem says to Zechariah, Zerubbabel is the one who established the foundation and he's going to complete it. And those who were upset over the foundation when they saw it was so small, now they're going to be happy when they see this, the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So then Zechariah says, hey, one second, what about the two trees, the olive trees, which he had mentioned before? Zechariah mentioned them before. And the Malach didn't explain the two olive trees. He only explained the menorah. He explained the fact that the oil was pouring into the menorah on its own from Hashem. The fact that it was seven It's going to be seven times. That was explained. And symbolisms to Olam Haba. But what about the olive trees? You didn't explain that. No answer. You know why the Malach didn't answer? Because Zechariah had left out some of the details about the olive trees. And the Malach had told Zechariah, tell me what you see. So Zechariah needed to notice more. There was some more that he hadn't noticed before. I don't mean to say he didn't see it, but he didn't feel, for whatever reason, he didn't articulate having seen those pieces. And so Zechariah now, this is all in his vision, Zechariah now says, what about the two bundles of olives? And the two tzantaros, those two receptacles, and the fact that the olives got pressed on their own and poured into the bowl. What's all that about? Now the Malach says, don't you know? Again, either you should know or you could figure it out. And Zechariah says, no, I don't. And the Malach says, those are the two Bnei HaYitzar. Those represent Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, who stand to serve Hashem. They're the ones who are going to fuel the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Zechariah is not here being difficult. He's not leaving things out on purpose. He's not, it's not like he's giving up, that, you know, like the teacher says, you know, come on, you can figure it out. No, I can't do it, you tell me. That's not what's going on over here. This is all part of the Nevuah, that Zechariah is challenged to tell the details. He does, but leaves some parts out. He then asks, what does it mean? And he's challenged, don't you know? And he says, I don't know. And it has to be explained to him. And then again, after that explanation, a little bit of detail in that explanation, then again, he asks, what about the part that wasn't explained? And there's no answer. And then he says more detail. And then he's challenged, don't you know? He says, no, I don't. And then it's explained. All of this is bringing out the point that this Nevuah, which represents the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, which the impediment will be removed by Hashem, but that will in turn require that us, the people, put in effort. Not effort to get rid of those who are trying to stop them. That's not going to happen through human beings. That's through Hashem. But the people need to put, led by Zechariah, need to put in effort to try to understand what Hashem is doing, to try to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize that it is all from Hashem. As they recognize that it is not up to their koach, it's not kochi v'otzem yadi, it's not their strength that will establish the second Beis HaMikdash, but rather it's going to be Hashem, bechvodo uva'atzma, that He's going to be the one who's going to step in and make it happen. As the people, as we Jews, recognize that, that will make it happen. And therefore the Malach says to Zechariah, what do you see? Tell me the details. You've got to notice. You who represent Klal Yisrael, notice what is going on. Don't just go about as if everything is normal. Think about it. Notice it. See what's happening. Describe the details. And he does. He describes in detail most of it. So then he says, what does it mean? And the angel says, don't you know? He says, no, I don't. That is emphasizing this point, that it's not going to come through you. You're not going to figure it out. Not only are you not going to get rid of the people who are trying to stop the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, you're also not going to figure things out. You're not going to figure out the secrets, the hidden things. It's all going to come from Hashem. And all you're going to do is connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's all. You're going to do the mitzvahs. You're going to learn His Torah. You're going to connect to Hashem. You're going to have emunah. and Hashem will do the whole thing. You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to work out how it's going to play out politically, how it's going to play out militarily or economically. That's not your problem. That's all coming from Hashem. You're not going to figure it out. Don't you know? No, I don't. You're going to be forced to admit that. It's not from me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the understanding. I can't figure things out. And then he tells him how it's going to happen, that Hashem is going to do it all. It's all coming from Hashem. Seven times, like the future, sort of like Olam Haba, where it's going to be seven times seven times seven. And then the Zerubbabel, Zechariah says, well, what about the two trees? No answer. You got to connect better than that. Just saying the two trees, that's not noticing enough. You need to connect more than that. You need to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam 100%. Notice everything he's doing. So then Zechariah says, what about the two bundles of olives? What about the two receptacles? What about the pressing of the oil, of the olives into oil? What about all of that? So he says, don't you know? No, I don't. Emphasizing, we will not figure it out. No one's going to figure it out. And the Malach then tells him that it is the zechus, the merit of the king and the Kohen Gadol, of Zerubbabel and Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, who are going to bring about the intervention of Hashem that will then create the second Beis HaMikdash. We're not quite finished yet. There's a couple of things more to point out, but we are seeing over here a mistake that we often make in our day and age in waiting for the third Beis HaMikdash. And that is, we think we can figure things out. We start this whole business, well, you know, this and that, and you know, this is going to bring about that, and then it's going to cause this downfall and that, and we think we can figure it out. We can figure out the political map, we can figure out economically, we can figure out militarily, Eretz Yisrael, and this and that, and da. You're not going to figure it out. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a lot smarter than that. And we're not going to figure it out. Don't bother with that. That's a waste of time. We're not going to figure it out. What is valuable? Notice what Hashem is doing. That's valuable. Interpreting it, we're not going to figure it out. We're not Nevi'im. Even the Navi Zechariah couldn't figure it out. He had to be told. We're not going to figure it out. But notice things anyway. Notice what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Notice the Chesed. Notice the Rachmanis. Notice what is happening. Notice these things. And as they unfold, then we will be Zoche to have such joy when the pieces start to fit together. But that will all come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it happens, our noticing things will bring about, will trigger HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention, and that will trigger our joy. But there is still one more very, very significant reference over here. In Pasuk Yud, in verse 10, Ki mi vaz liyom ketanos, who denigrates the days of small, and we explain this is referring to the days when they laid the foundation 18 years earlier, and it was small, and people were crying. And no, now they're going to be happy. The Marsha writes in Meseches Chulin that this pasuk, Kimi vaz liyom ketanos, who denigrates the small days, the short days, is a reference to the shortest days of the year, which take place in the wintertime, and refers to that time of year, that the days are short, the nights are long, and there is a menorah. And this pasuk is a remez to Chanukah, which has not yet happened chronologically. This is the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Chanukah takes place during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And this pasuk is a reference to the Yom Kitanos. Don't denigrate the short days. The power of the Yontif of Chanukah. Don't underestimate the power of the Yontif of Chanukah. To bring about these points, the concepts of not being able to figure things out. You couldn't figure out Chanukah. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, no one would have figured out Chanukah. The Chashmonaim should never have won. They should have been decimated immediately. There should have been no way at all that they could have won. The only reason why they won that war is because they said, we don't understand. That's not our job to understand. We're just human beings. Our job is to do the Ratzon Hashem. That's our job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything. It's not our problem. He doesn't need our help. We do what Hashem expects us to do. Mi la Hashem Eli. Who is for Hashem should come to me. And they represent this concept of Rabbi Meir Me'atim, etc. This whole story of Hanukkah represents this concept. And the fact that the Nes happens with the menorah on Hanukkah is to reference back to this perek right here. It's not that we read this on Hanukkah because, well, there was a Nes with a menorah on Hanukkah, so let's read in Zechariah where he has a nevuah about a menorah. That's putting the cart before the horse. The reason why we read this on Hanukkah is because the Nes of Hanukkah is with a menorah, because the Nes of Hanukkah is meant to highlight this nevuah of Zechariah. Because the Nes of Hanukkah was a me'ain, was a little bit of what is to come for the third Beis HaMikdash, for Olam Haba, for when there will be 7 times 7 times 7 of light. That's what it symbolizes. And the way you get there is the same way. You get there with not trying to figure things out and trying to do things as kochi votes and yadi, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that, or we'll do this, or we'll do that. We'll lobby here, we'll lobby there, we'll go to the government. Da, da. All of that is nice. It is not our strength. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is doing everything. Everything is only hishtadlus. Everything is just putting in effort. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the entire thing. And this is the reference over here. And that is why this Haftorah is read on Hanukkah. It is ironic that we also read it now in Parshas Bahaloscha, which also has the menorah, the beginning of the Parsha, which is why we read it here in Bahaloscha. But it is ironic that Parshas Bahaloscha is read now on the shortest nights of the year and the longest days of the year. We read this Haftorah both on both ends of the spectrum, at the solstice. We read the Haftorah, this Haftorah we read of Zechariah, both on the shortest days of the year and the longest days of the year, which is ironic. But the Pasuk here is a reference to the shortest days of the year of Hanukkah. And that references us back to Zechariah, to this menorah of Zechariah. Neros de Zechariah, the lights of Zechariah, is this Perek Dalet that we have just read, and ultimately it is a Pesach, it is an insight into the third Beis HaMikdash, into the what it will be, Mirtzah Hashem, in Olam Haba, in the future, B'mehar V'yameinu. Anybody have any questions before we stop for tonight?
I have an idea that, so what you were just explaining, how you don't have to do it and Hashem will do it. So Lemaisa, the Mishkan, in the menorah and the Mishkan, right, they couldn't do it.
Good.
And Mikshah had to be done by itself, right? What's the word, Mikshah? I don't remember.
Yeah, right, 100%. Right. They couldn't figure it out. They couldn't do it. And then he had to throw the gold in the fire and the menorah came out.
And then it came by itself, right?
Yeah.
And then, so Lemaisa, it's the same exact
perfect.
That menorah. Menorah, always
perfect.
Like that.
That's right. Perfect.
Questions. So was it really Lemaisa a practical thing that the oil went in from these trees into the menorah all the time, and they no one had to put oil in the second base bias?
No. This didn't actually exist in the second base HaMikdash. The second base HaMikdash was a regular menorah that they filled with oil, just, you know, the Kohen had to do that. This is in his nevuah, he sees it all happening by itself.
But it didn't happen that way.
No.
That's not how it worked.
No.
Okay.
But Francis, can you explain again about the light? And at the time of Olam Haba, it will be 7 times 7 times 7.
The way Chazal say it is that the light of Olam Haba will be 7 times the light of Sheshes Mebrachos. Of the aura in the beginning of time. And that light is 7 times the light we have today.
Okay.
Right. And the reason that the first 7 is because it's 7 days of the week. So 7 days of the week times 7 for the light of the of creation, times seven for Olam Haba. Yeah.
And the menorah really has seven branches.
The menorah of the Beis Hamikdash has seven branches.
And the Mishkan and
also,
right?
Yeah.
There's always seven.
Yeah, we're not supposed to build a menorah that resembles that of the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash. And so we're not supposed to build a seven branch menorah that would be, that could be used in the Beis Hamikdash. That we're not supposed to do that.
And will the light of time of Mashiach be brighter than even the light of time of creation?
Not Mashiach. Olam Haba. We don't know exactly.
Olam Haba, I meant.
Yeah, we don't know the difference exactly between. Yeah, it would be great. It would be brighter. Yes, right. Be brighter. Yeah. Just point out that the seven branches, people get mixed up because we know the Chanukah menorah has eight branches, but that even though the Chanukah menorah has eight branches, that's because it's 8 days. But the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash had seven branches,
that's
not eight.
Right.
That's
right.
So it was three on each side and one in the middle.
Correct.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And the lights pointed inward.
According to one opinion, yeah. Yeah.
And Zechariah was not Zerubbabel, right?
No, Zerubbabel is Nehemiah.
Okay. I couldn't remember who it was.
Yeah, Nehemiah.
Thank you.
Rabbi, why does it say Chaim twice?
That's a good question. They actually talk about this. I don't know the answer to the question. It's a good question. It is brought up, and I don't remember. I think someone read it almost like a... like a question and answer. Chain, something like that. But I don't remember. But it is discussed. It's a good point, and I don't remember the answer. Okay, we will, Ms. Hashem, continue next week.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.